Hello and welcome to Talking.Golf on Wisconsin.Golf. Talking.Golf is a weekly podcast featuring Gary D'Amato and Rob Hernandez. And now, talking all things golf in Wisconsin, here's Gary and Rob. We welcome you to Talking.Golf here on the final weekend of July. Rob Hernandez along with Gary D'Amato. We are sponsor free again this week, so it gives me a chance to remind everybody that all you have to do to be the exclusive sponsor of Talking.Golf, reach out to our Director of Sales and Marketing, Megan Augustine, and you can do that by calling her at 608-320-5018. She heads up everything related to sales and marketing with Killarney Golf Media and Wisconsin.Golf, and she can get you on the banner of Talking.Golf each and every week here on Wisconsin.Golf. And we welcome in Gary D'Amato. It's been a exhausting couple of weeks. I think we're both you're headed back to bed, I think, after this. I'm headed down to San Diego and a weekend with some friends down there. Just got back after 10 days of state amateur, state junior girls, Brown Deer or Badger Mutual Insurance women's amateur. You were state amateur, U.S. amateur qualifying, which is really the longest day of golf. And then the final round of the Wisconsin Junior Masters. We'll talk about the junior stuff in a minute, but and we talked about the State Am last week, and then we saw some of the same characters, some of the same cast of characters at Hidden Glen in Cedarburg on Tuesday. It was a strange deal. I came out there to see you, Gary, and to return a lens for the camera lens to Jim Kelch I've been using throughout my stay, and It was a weird vibe. I mean, the guys that you thought would be on the leaderboard at the time I arrived weren't quite there yet. And typical of a 36-hole U.S. amateur qualifier, the cream rose to the top. In the end, it was Justin Schluker of Park City, Utah. We'll talk about his remote tie to the state in a minute. Yeah. And then Pearson Hunt. But Pearson Hunt, for a while there, Gary, was yeah, I think we needed to put an APB out on him because he was so far down the leaderboard. I wasn't sure he was ever going to dig his way out. But lo and behold, Pearson Hunt gets through to the U.S. Amateur in at Cherry Hills next month. And all is well that ended well. And then Jack Schultz beat Jack Anderson in a playoff for first alternate. And both those guys could have very well gotten through to the U.S. Am as well. A very interesting day at Hidden Glen. You know it was bad when you and Jim tried to go out and follow groups and guys kept making bogeys. So you said, I'm going back to the outdoor bar and I'm just going to wait for people to finish. I thought that was a good move.
Yeah, it was kind of a strange day. Yeah, Pearson Hunt, 4 over par after 6 holes. He said he had a good warm-up and came out and laid the sod over a wedge on the first hole, and from there it got worse. Hit a ball in the water on a little par 3, I think it's the 4th hole. Made a double there, and just totally uncharacteristic. But, you know, right at the chip, he had 30 holes left to make a move, and he did, and played great really down the stretch to earn that second spot. Yeah, Justin Schluker, I guess he told me he's moved to Salt Lake City, even though he Park City on his, you know, on the entry sheet and everything. But yeah, he came to Wisconsin because his girlfriend is from Racine, and they were visiting her parents, and he decided to enter the USAM qualifier here. So really good player. He's got a great resume. I had never heard of him, obviously. You probably hadn't even either, and you know everyone, Rob.
No, I hadn't. And it always, you know, when we've seen a lot of guys from all over the globe, I remember Randy Warbeck. I saw him the day after the USAM qualifier, and the former past president of the Wisconsin State Golf Association, great golfer in his own right. And, you know, he would talk about how this would happen a lot in Wisconsin, and there may have been some carryover here even this week, but because our USAM qualifier is so close to the Western amateur, and there's so many good golfers in the upper Midwest that sometimes have to squeeze the USAM qualifying in, that we would get some of that residual. I don't think that's quite the case based on the field I saw this week, but, you know, there were a couple, you know, guys from Illinois, one or two from Michigan that were, and one from Minnesota. But, I thought for the most part, it was a pretty strong field of Wisconsin golfers. And a lot of the guys that we've seen all year, you know, do well Max, you know, Jacob Beckman, Max Schmidtke, Graham Moody, who's had some, you know, good performances, Ty Kretz. I think it speaks to the quality of golf you have to play for 36 holes in one day to get through.
Yeah, that's a good point, Rob. And, you know, talking about Jack Schultz, who's the first alternate, he was in shape to earn one of those two qualifying spots until he made four consecutive bogeys down the stretch and on his back nine in the final 30s, in the final round. So, you know, you wonder if fatigue didn't play a role. You know, Jack had won the state amateur the week before, played, you know, four great rounds of golf, walking every day. And then he's, you know, a couple of days later, he's playing 36 holes in U.S. amateur qualifying. And I don't know if fatigue played a role in that, but that's unlike Jack to make four straight bogeys. And hopefully he'll get in as the first alternate.
Yeah, that, you know, a lot of people enter these you know, maybe just to see if they can get through. And then they see whether, in a lot of times things come up in the schedule. You know, remember, these are amateur golfers who have jobs and, for the most part. And so not everybody that qualifies to go to the AM actually gets there. So we'll see if Jack can get through. I wanted to go back to Pearson Hunt for a minute. You had a chance to talk to him. What's your vibe on how he feels, the state of his game is, and is he, you know, at all happy with the way his summer has unfolded?
I think he's, I think he feels he's making progress, Rob. I think he's happy with his game. This is his third consecutive, U.S. amateur he qualified for. I didn't realize that. That's a huge accomplishment. Not too many guys can say they qualified for three consecutive U.S. AMs. So I think he's happy going into his final year at Illinois. I think, you know, we'll see what he does at the U.S. amateur, but, it would be great if he could make match play and win a couple matches and go pretty deep into the tournament.
Because Illinois has a lot of horses to replace down there off their team that made it into match play at the NCAA championships. And Pearson was kind of at that 4 or 5 spot in the lineup most of the year, but and was probably the one guy in that lineup that didn't have the sustained, you know, period of taking it low. And we all know that he can. And
right.
I know when I talked to him at the NCAAs, he was talking about he had, you know, spent a lot of time working on some stuff. There was a tournament that Illinois played in the spring where he was left home, and it turned out to be kind of a blessing because it gave him an extended period of time to work on that stuff and then, you know, get ready for the meet of the postseason in the college golf ranks, and then of course the summer season. And he's in the Elite Amateur Series. He's had a couple, you know, a good showing, I think, out might have been at the Porter Cup. And then missed the cut at the Southern Amateur. And so it's been a little bit of a roller coaster. And but, you know, there's a lot of travel involved. He's getting a taste of what life will be like after next year at Illinois when he turns professional. So, you know, I think he's trying to get all his ducks in a row for this fall. And I thought the way he came back was a good sign that things are starting to finally click. And he was able to flip that switch and get back into contention and ultimately get where he wants to go.
Yeah, and, you know, we talked to Mike Small, his coach at Illinois, at the U.S. Senior Open, and Mike said this is a big year for Pearson. A lot is expected of him. You know, Coach Small expects a lot from him. He's going to move up, you know, hopefully into that 1-2 or at worst maybe 3 spot at Illinois. He's going to have to, you know, he's going to have to carry a big share of the load, as you pointed out, when he gets to Illinois, which is, you know, in just a couple weeks here. So I think this USAM is big for him. And I think, obviously his senior year at Illinois is going to be huge.
And I was just trying to look up here to see whether, I would assume that he's in the field for the Western Amateur. Is that, do you know if that's what's next for him?
You know, I don't know. I don't know if he's in the field.
He's not in the field, so I'm not sure. Well, let me see here. Hang on. He is in the field. He is in the field.
Okay.
You know, you mentioned in the story, you know, he's part of the Canadian national team because he was born north of the border, and he occasionally lists Heartland is his home, and occasionally lists Calgary, Canada as his home, and this is one where Canada gets the nod. So he is in the field. That will start early next week. And that's at North Shore Country Club in Glenview, Illinois this year. And a great old course in the Chicago suburbs and the 121st playing of the Western Amateur. So between the Western Am and the USAM, Gary, Pearson Hunt's summer is stocked full of great tournaments.
Yeah, it is. And I just read a news release, Rob, that the Western Amateur is going to be live streamed. So I can't wait to find that channel and watch some of the action from that. It, obviously, great history with the Western Am. You know, Jordan Ebrogi won it in 2013, I believe, was the last guy from our state to win it. But we've had a couple Wisconsin players win that tournament over the years.
And the other big news, and I know you're a connoisseur of golf course art. Cassie Tully, who did the artwork for the Ryder Cup a couple years ago at Whistling Straits, was commissioned to do the kind of the promotional painting of the ninth fairway with a golfer and the Evans Scholar caddy walking alongside for this 121st Western Amateur North Shore Country Club. So shout out to Cassie. Between Cassie and Sam Van Galder, I think we have two of the greatest golf course artists that we've known. Now, I think Cassie's relocated out west to maybe Montana to kind of relocate, and every so often artists need to kind of go somewhere else to get their creative juices going. So I don't know if she's calling Wisconsin home at the moment, but we will always claim her as one of our artists, and it was good work there. They will have qualifying for the Western Amateur tomorrow, or actually on Sunday. We're recording the podcast here early on a Friday. And so I believe there's opportunities for some of the other Wisconsin amateurs to gain entry into the field, but I haven't seen that list yet either. As we look at that USAM qualifying, it's kind of that last frontier here, Gary, before we start talking about the Wisconsin State Open. There were some other State Open qualifiers this week that had to actually deal with some raindrops. The one at the Legend at Brandybrook in Wales was disrupted a little bit, and I'm not sure if Lake Arrowhead was, but wanted to highlight a couple of things out of that Lake Arrowhead qualifier. Emmett Herb, who did so well a couple weeks ago down at the Waterloo Open, shot 72 and earned one of the six spots. It was a pretty solid group there coming out of Lake Arrowhead. Lincoln Hotman, who's part of the great class, I believe it's 2025 or six at, I think 2025 at DeForest High School. They had five guys all in the same class qualify as freshmen in 2022, and then they got back to state as sophomores. So he's in that mix along with Will Schlitz, who's one of the top golfers in the class of 2024, as of yet uncommitted, but a lot of eyes on Will. And then Emmett Herb and Luke Table. Luke out of Holman, his dad, Dave, the women's golf coach at UW La Crosse. So we've got Emmett Herb through. And then talking to some people, I believe the PGA Tour Canada is off the week of the State Open, which is why Harrison Ott and I assume Thomas Longbella are both coming back. George Kneiser got an exemption. So we're going to have at least four or five, six, seven, eight mini tour guys who have played a lot of competitive golf in the field up at Central World.
Well, that just makes the field all that much stronger. It makes it harder for, some of those young amateurs to win because these mini tour players are playing golf all over the country and traveling, and they're used to the grind of playing tons of golf. So, and they're all really good players. So the guys you mentioned, the mini tour players who are going to be in the state open field, all of them could finish in the top 15 easily. That could easily happen.
There's another qualifier going on as we record the podcast on a Friday morning at Nacoma Golf Club in Madison, which means it's a lot of the Madison area hopefuls and early in that qualifying through four holes. Griffin Burrell, the former Badger out of Lakewood, Colorado, 2 under par. He leads by one over Daniel Osga of Edgerton, Jack McKinney of Sussex, and Robert Handel of Mequon. But there's a lot of guys in that and typically backloaded there. Jacob Beckman in the field, a Badger golfer. Ryan Schilke, former UW Green Bay golfer. Trey Oswald down in Eastern Illinois, and a whole bunch of Madison area golfers looking to punch their ticket to the State Open up at Century World. Also earlier this week, it was qualifying up at the Irish course up at Whistling Straits. And as I call that one up, I believe that's where Max Schmidtke got through. And so it was, yes, Max Schmidtke with the 73. Again, these qualifiers, you run to qualify, and it's not how well you shoot, it's whether you get through. Brian Murtaugh of Charlotte, North Carolina, with a 6-under 66. And of course, I got a text message from Neil Grzynski, because Brian Murtaugh, part of that crew down at Cardinal Stritch back when the school was in existence, and they had the great men's golf program under Neil G. And Brian was part of that. He now calls Charlotte, North Carolina home, but of course, because he went to school here, qualifies as a for the residency requirement for qualifying for the state open. So that's pretty cool. Mason Hopp, who's had a great summer out of De Pere, qualified third with a 71. And your buddy Matt Boehm out of Valders, T4 with a 72. So I think it'll be good to see Matt trying to stretch out on the greens there at Century World.
Yeah, Matt's got the most unusual approach to reading putts of anyone in the state. A former Ray Fisher champion. And, yes. I don't think he's quite, probably not quite long enough to be a factor really in the state open anymore, but it's great that he qualified.
So, we have a few more qualifiers to go. We've got, this is the last qualifier, then it's the last chance qualifier. And, if you missed during the, any of the eight, check it, seven state open qualifiers. Well, this is going to make my life a lot easier doing that state open field breakdown. Only seven qualifiers for this thing versus the 12 that we had for the state amateur. The last chance qualifier will be at Watertown Country Club. Great test to golf there. And, that's on August 7th. Registration for that opens on the 29th. They've already let a few guys into that last chance qualifier, Gary, who haven't, I don't believe these guys actually tried to qualify at the other places, probably because of scheduling conflicts, but a couple of recent high school guys, Ben Christensen out of Eau Claire and Ryder Miller out of Sheboygan. Ryder was on the bag of Mason Schmidtke over at the State Am a couple weeks ago. Clayton Tribue, who we saw at the State Am in the hunt there. And then he and Jacob Beckman won the Billy 60 Best Ball last week down at Whitnall Park. And so they're in there. Jim Rolofson's going to try the last chance qualifier too. The Roly up there in his 70s, right?
Yeah, he's got to be mid-70s maybe, 74 maybe, I'm going to guess. Yeah, that's great that he's trying to qualify. I love it.
I'd like to see a last chance qualifier for the State Am. I think maybe we eliminate one of the 12 qualifiers and then – And I think I like the mulligan concept. I feel like, especially in the State Am, having gone through each and every one of them, there are a lot of guys, there were a lot of golfers that didn't make it who would have had a chance to maybe be top 25. A couple of good young high school golfers like, Tyson Sparks and, Charlie Erlinson. But, again, that's part of what, that's part of golf's hierarchy, isn't it, Gary? You got to be on the day of the qualifier to get where you want to go. Kind of like Pearson Hunt and in the USAM qualifier. I mean, there was a look there that, maybe it wasn't going to be his day, and that would have been a bad day to have a bad day, as they say.
Yeah. And talking about the state open field, no Steve Stricker, who, I thought there was a 3% chance he might enter because it's at Century World, and he, just played the course a few weeks ago in the senior U.S. Senior Open. We still think he's going to try to win a record sixth state open at some point. And when I told him that next year it's at Minocqua, where he's a member and plays a lot of golf in the summer when he's not competing, his eyes lit up. So maybe we'll see him at Minocqua next year, Rob.
Yeah, boy, it was golfing yesterday here, and the woman in the pro shop here in Arizona is from back in basically in the, grew up in the, in the Milwaukee area of clubs but they have she's actually a cousin of John Hogan, who was starting at the starter at the state amateur. And I mentioned, how Steve plays a lot of golf there. And it seems like he plays with a lot of the members up there too. Very popular. And, I'm sure isn't there as much as he'd like to be, but when he is, it really has become kind of this, bastion of, peacefulness that, I think Steve looks for when he's not out traveling the country. So, it's kind of cool. I hope he does get enter it next year, but again, a great field lined up as we look at the field again, as we do here the last couple of weeks now, you know, Hunter Eichhorn, Charlie Delsman coming back from Florida, Andy Bugey, who's, contended in, state opens, Zach Burry, who had that great, showing down at, Waterloo. And then all the amateurs that we've covered here all summer, most of them, you know, in the mix, and, Austin Konzorski coming back, George Kneiser. So it's Thomas Long Bella. Boy, this is, I'm getting fired up already. Just looking at the field. A guy that qualified in one of the early qualifiers, Chris Meyer, former Badger golfer out of Dallas, Texas now. And Chris plays in a lot of Monday qualifiers and things. So he could be a guy to keep an eye on, as maybe a dark horse. And then you've got Jordan Niebrugge, Harrison Ott. Let's see here. Anybody else that jumps out from deep, Kaylor Steger played a ton of golf. Patrick Stolpe, who comes back every year, was a proponent of relaxing the residence requirements for the state open, and rightly so. Nate Thompson, who we haven't heard much of from Greendale, turned professional, has been chasing many tours around. Matt Tolan, who is working more than he's playing down here in Arizona, but former state amateur champion, who I'm sure is going to try to give it a shot again at Q School, one of them this fall. Peter Webb, who basically gave up competitive golf, but you know, has played really well in the state open the last few years. He'll be in the field. And so Ben Walter, former two-time state open champion, coming back. And so it's good to see. It's I don't think we really had to sell people on coming back to play Central World, did we, Gary?
No, that is a loaded field, Rob. And you're right. Yeah, a chance to play Century World just weeks after the U.S. Senior Open, I'm sure was a incentive for a lot of these guys. Not that they need much incentive to play in our state open, but it's a great field. And you're coming back for that, Rob. Boy, you're just crisscrossing the country lately. You'll be back, what, the day before the state open starts, like August 13th?
Yeah, right about there. Yep. And yeah. So I might actually try to check out I might visit some friends up in Minocqua the day before and scout out potential living arrangements for next year. For the week of the state open.
Another
you can never plan too far ahead, can you, Gary?
That's right. That's right, Rob.
Well, I wanted to also spend a little time talking about the great junior golf that we saw this week. You at the Junior Masters and me at the Wisconsin Girls State Junior over at Hartford. And, you know, unique course at Hartford. At on the card, it played to a par 74, but they, you know, played a number of holes up, so it didn't really feel like a 74. But it looked really good on the card when you signed for a 68 and it was 6 under. That was the case for Kylie Walker in the qualifying round. But, I wanted to talk specifically about the semifinal match between Nora Roberts and Abigail Hendrickson of DeForest. Gary, I've covered many match play events and, I can't remember one ever going 23 holes, and B, I can't remember one where the two competitors hit almost every fairway, almost every green. And I think I counted after it became a one-up match through five holes, it never varied from one-up either way, Nora or Abigail. And 11 of the final 13 holes, I believe, were of the whole competition were half pars. And that's pretty good. And it wasn't like they were conceding 7 and 8 footers. I mean, you know, they were legit half, you know, concessions. And that they had a hard time, I think, figuring out the breaks of the greens. You know, there was a little bit of precipitation on Wednesday that moved through the Milwaukee area. And we didn't get hit too hard in Hartford, but, you know, the greens weren't quite they were a little bit harder for the two golfers to figure out. But it ended with a Nora Roberts, a two-time defending champ, making a birdie putt, knocking it tight on the 14th hole at Hartford. They played the five playoff holes on the back nine. And I think it was the 14th hole, and she made a 4-footer. But boy, I tell you what, it was, you know, Nora Roberts has really elevated her game. She's off North Dakota State, and this Abigail Hendrickson, part of a class that's including McKenna Nelson, who won the women's state match play. She lost, I believe it was in the quarterfinals to Bryn Newman out of Toma. But you know, you've got two incoming freshmen who, were just, you know, spectacular in match play this year. And it was really fun to watch. And then, of course, Vivian Cressman knocked off, Nora Roberts in the final. Vivian fell behind two holes after two down, three holes into the match, and then came back to win one up after they have pars on the last two holes. So really good match play stuff. I forget how good that format is, but really cool to see how good the game is going forward. We know that this year's senior class, led by, you know, Izzy Stricker and that group, Jessica Geiser, although she won't be playing high school golf in Wisconsin, is really, really good. And then the incoming freshman class is looking to be almost as good as what this year's senior class was 4 years ago. Fun stuff there at Hartford.
Yeah, I love covering match play. We don't get a lot of chances to cover it. And, you know, you saw a great match, some great matches. And I saw a different kind of a couple of good matches at the Mike Bencrisiuto Jr. Masters in Racine yesterday. The golf was a little bit ragged, but, you know, a lot of these young men are playing match play for the first time. You know, the 14 or 15 year olds, haven't played much match play. A couple guys told me it was the first time they had played this format. So there's a learning process and a learning curve to play match play. It's a little different than stroke play. And then, it's a lot of golf. You know, they play an 18 hole stroke play qualifier, and then they play two matches every day if you get to the finals for three straight days. So, the golf was a little bit ragged, but two worthy champions emerged in Edgerton's Caleb Kern winning the 18 and under, and Milton's Cade Whelan winning the 15 and under divisions.
Well, and I think the other difference too, Gary, between the guys and the girls, and it's, you know, there's no right or wrong in how you attack match play or how you attack a golf course. I like the fact that, you know, the girls were very much into the fairways and greens mode and trying to make putts. The guys, I've noticed, and I think I've talked to a lot of coaches who coach both boys and girls golf, and they see this as the biggest difference. It is the propensity to hit driver at all costs, no matter how short or how tight the hole, that gets guys in trouble sometimes. And I think there's a lot of times, in fact, I remember a high school coach about 20 years ago, really good program in the Madison area, and he, for one tournament, took the drivers out of the bag when they arrived at the golf course, because he knew that it wasn't a golf course that they needed driver. He knew that his golfers couldn't help themselves but pull it too often. And so he made them play the whole round with three woods. And not a bad coaching move there. And, but, you know, it just, these guys are so aggressive. We see it every, you know, we saw it at the state amateur. You know, I mean, there's a lot of drivers that, you know, are hit that maybe needed to be, you know, scaled back to a three wood just to keep the ball in play. And I think sometimes, you know, they're content to, you know, hit it as far as they can, punch out, try to run it on the green. I'll tell you what, Gary, this generation of golfer is much better at the punch out than back in our era where it was trying to hit fairways and greens. Equipment didn't allow you to maybe, you know, attack the way you can attack today. But, you know, these guys sure seem to know how to get out of trouble quickly.
Yeah, that's a good point, Rob. You know, Johnson Park in Racine is a course that has some holes that definitely can be attacked with the driver, but you can't hit driver on every hole there because there's some dog legs that are tree lined, and, you know, you hit driver a little bit crooked and you're in trouble. And Owen Wege, I hope I'm pronouncing his last name right, from Edgerton, who lost to Cade Whelan in the 15 and under final, hit some, to your point, hit several wayward drives, but then hit great recovery shots, to stay alive, really, and down the stretch and in the playoff, he had a great one on 17, the second play, or the first extra hole. They went 17-18. It ended on 18 the first time around. But to your point, yeah, he hit driver all over the place. Sometimes he took advantage of it, and sometimes it got him in trouble. But sometimes, you're right, sometimes these young players are over-aggressive. They need to learn how to manage the course and their games a little better. And that comes with time and experience.
And so Cade Whelan, your winner in the 15 and under, and Caleb Kern in the 16 to 18. Cade Whelan's brother, Brett, who's committed to UW Green Bay for the 2024 class, I believe he was the qualifying co-medalist and the number one seed, lost to Logan Suter in the, was it the quarterfinals, I believe it was? And
I think so, yeah.
And in a two-up match. So, again, just a lot of great golf. And to put a bow on the Mike Bencrisiuto Jr. Masters, with the help of the Wisconsin PGA this year, it saw a renaissance. The girls junior had 73 qualifiers, Gary, when the WPGA jumped in and helped the WSGA run that tournament, put it on their platform for registration. They had been dormant for 2 years because they'd only had eight, and this was probably back in 2010, 2011. So it sat idle for 2 years. They brought it back together, and there were, I think, 25 golfers the first year, 73 girls this year. And just looking at your field that you had, down at Racine, I mean, it was deep and it was large, and just about everybody, who's been in the mix. I think there were some that had to make the decision whether they did the Junior Masters or State Open qualifying. So that took a couple away, but boy, it looked like a really good field of golfers with some really good competition down there at the Junior Masters. I hope the organizers were happy with the first year of this kind of joint effort between the group that's always run it, at Johnson Park and the WPGA.
Yeah, the group of golfers from Racine, who are dedicated to junior golf and have run this tournament for 50 years now, really, in the name of the late Mike Bancusciuto, they've done a great job, but they needed some help, because it was harder and harder to find golfers to play in this as the summer schedule continued to fill with tournaments for young golfers. So yeah, the WPGA stepped in, saw Jazz out there and some of the interns, and it was great seeing everybody. And, you know, there's some talk that they might make the Junior Masters champion, give them an exemption to the Wisconsin-Illinois matches, Wisconsin-Minnesota Cup matches. Yep. So that would be big if that happened. But even if it doesn't, I think the WPGA's presence in helping to run this is going to only add to it.
And both tournaments and the match play format this week set the stage for a big week of junior golf next week. I didn't realize this is the 100th Wisconsin Junior Boys Championship will be contested at the Legend at Bergamont in Oregon. And so a lot of the stars that you saw at the at both the WPGA Junior and the Junior Masters here in the last couple months will begin the last day of July, the first couple days of August at the Junior Boys Championship. And then on the girls' side, it'll be the Sherry Steinhauer, which has become a staple of many schedules this year, growing from 36 to 54 holes. Rounds 1 and 3 will be played at Black Hawk Country Club and round 2 at Nokomis Golf Club. So Pleasant View Golf Course, which did so well hosting the second round of the old 36-hole format, out of the mix this year. But, Black Hawk, which has 54 holes at the Mike Schnarr for the boys at the end of the year or the end of the summer, will host 2 of the 3 rounds. And Sherry Steinhauer really had to go to bat for the tournament, her own tournament, to get it at one round at Nokomis. But I think it's fitting because that's where she grew up playing her junior golf. So neat to see two clubs in the Madison area stepping up for junior golf next week. We've got a lot of other golf going on this weekend. Let's start first on the PGA Tour, where the story of the week was 2014 state amateur champion Alex Gaugert qualifying on a Monday qualifier for the 3M Open. He's normally the caddy for Eric Von Rooyen, his former University of Minnesota teammate. It was a tough opening round for Alex. He shot 77 in a first round that was delayed by storms up in the Twin Cities on Thursday. But as we record the podcast on a Friday morning, he's 1 under through 3. And he won't make the cut, Gary D'Amato, but he'll have a lot of memories. He got to play the first two rounds with Eric Von Rooyen, and then with Alex had his brother Austin on the bag. And Austin last week was on the bag of Patrick Rogers, who lost in a playoff at the Barracuda Championship, the alternate field event last week opposite the British. So good stuff there by the brothers Gaugert.
Yeah, and that was a good story, Rob. And I know the story you did got picked up by a lot of outlets, and I'm seeing it everywhere, or versions of it as people rewrite it. But yeah, it's a cool story. Good for Alex. And, shows that he can still play. And he doesn't play nearly as much as he probably wants to because he's, carrying a bag a lot. But when he does play, man, he's still got a lot of game. And I see he just bogeyed a hole, Rob. So he's even now through 4. In his second round here, but good for him for qualifying for a PGA Tour event.
Yeah, he literally shot 65 in his sleep because he had to catch a plane from Sacramento to Seattle. The Seattle to Minnesota flight was delayed. didn't get into like, I don't know, 9 a.m. And then raced over to his house, dropped stuff off, and then went to the course, hit 15 balls in the range, kind of like Tony Romo at the state am.
Yeah.
And then off he went. So that was kind of cool. We also have some good stuff happening up again this week on the Canadian Tour, which is why we're so excited about the state open. George Kneiser, Thomas Long, Bella Harrison, Ott all competing north of the border. They had great first rounds. Kneiser with a 65, Long Bella with a 67, and Harrison Ott with a 69. Struggling a little bit early on Friday, and they've fallen back a little bit, but they're still George Kneiser still in the top 10. Thomas Long Bella has fallen just outside the top 30, and Harrison Ott has slipped 26 spots to a T65, but at this point they're inside the cut line to play on the weekend at the Osprey Valley Open in Ontario at the TPC Toronto. Also have golfers playing in the Eastern Amateur, a couple Badger golfers playing there, and those are Carter Pitcairn and Spencer Sturts, a couple of the East Coast golfers that are on the Badger roster. And then also at the Northern Amateur, we've got Bennett Swavely and Noah Kirsch playing there. They're through two rounds of the Northern Amateur, and today's the final round of qualifying there. Trying to think, we've covered just about everything in the world of golf, Gary. What else do we have to talk about? We're almost at the end. We're to that point where it just seems like it keeps coming and it keeps coming.
I guess we could mention Mario in the Senior Open, Rob.
That's the one.
That's the only one we haven't talked about.
And he had a great first round yesterday, shot, 3 under par. And was just 2 shots behind leader Miguel Angel Jimenez. Now I see he finally has his first birdie of the second round. Had a really, really tough opening 9 and shot 41, had a stretch there of bogey, bogey, double, and fell down the leaderboard. But he's currently T26 at 2 over par, 5 over for the championship. I didn't catch any of the action. They've got the Evian Championship on now, but, you know, this is one of those tournaments, Gary, where if Mario can have a big week, he could go a long ways to securing some sort of status for next year. And, I thought after that first round, maybe, you know, Lynx Golf and Mario Tiziani were a good match for each other, but, Lynx Golf always has a way of winning that competition, doesn't it?
Yeah, it sure does, Rob. I have no idea what the weather was like when Mario teed off, but I'm guessing it wasn't great because of the bogeys, and then he had a triple on, or a double on the 6th hole, a par 5, a hole he birdied yesterday. But, you know, the back 9, a bunch of pars and a birdie, and he's, as we record this, he's got one hole to go, the 18th hole. So hopefully he's got the worst part of his golf behind him and comes back strong in the next 2 rounds on the weekend here.
Well, I think that was kind of the story yesterday on Thursday. You know, he started out at the tail end of the bad stuff because apparently the early golfers on Thursday had the worst of the weather, and then it kind of sat down for a bit, and he played his final 16 holes in 5 under par. So that was pretty good stuff. And so obviously you play late one day, you got to play early the next to kind of, you know, to in theory level it out. And it looks like, as you said, Gary, that the weather might have been as menacing early in the day over there as it was on day 1. They are playing this at Royal Porthcawl in Bridgend, Wales. Gary, you ever played there?
I've never played that course, but I have played in Wales, Rob. Royal St. David's I played, a couple other courses. Never made it to Royal Porthcawl. That's down in the capital, I think, of Wales. But great links courses that people don't know about because you always hear about Scotland and Ireland, but there's some great golf in Wales too.
So we'll keep an eye on Mario Tiziani through the weekend. And, I'm not even sure where are we going? I got to check to see where we're going next week with the PGA Tour. And the, its various, tours.
There's only one event left, I think, before the playoffs, I believe.
Yeah, the Wyndham Championship. The seniors are off as they come back from overseas. And, the Corn Ferry Tour in action, the, Mackenzie Tour is at the Windsor Championships. Well, I can remember, is that really, wow, Ambassador Golf Course, Windsor, Ontario, Canada. My mom and dad went and saw Steve Stricker play in the old Canadian Tour in Windsor. You know, back then you didn't need a passport to go over the bridge or under the tunnel from Detroit, and they went over and followed him for 18 holes. I believe they might be the only people who could ever say that they watched Steve on the old Canadian tour, because it never came close to Wisconsin, and they played in some wild spots. But yeah, the Wyndham Championship to close it out. Can you believe it's the end of the PGA Tour season? And before long, you know, we're going to have announcements of the Ryder Cup team. I think that's part of the reason Steve isn't playing the State Open this year, Gary, is that he's got a lot of obligations as a vice captain for Zach Johnson. I think they've got, yeah, I heard him say two trips over to Italy to get the team ready. And that team's going to need to be ready. The deeper we go into this season, and with all the LIV Golf stuff that's been going on, and then Brian Harman winning last week at the British Open, it's not the cookie cutter team. You look back now, just a couple years ago, Steve had it really good when we had one tour of golfers and none of this division. All the whole thing kind of played out. You know, there might have been a couple of, you know, raised eyebrows over some of the captain's picks and not having Patrick Reed on the team, but otherwise, I mean, it was pretty benign compared to what Zach Johnson's faced here in the next month.
Yeah, you know, when we look back on that Ryder Cup, I pretty much thought that the entire team, maybe with one or two guys different, would be back. And so much has happened between then and now, as you mentioned, with Liv and some guys falling. You know, Justin Thomas is in a slump and might not make the team. And if he does, it's probably going to have to be as a captain's pick, which would be controversial because he hasn't played well. And yeah, Wyndham Clark winning the U.S. Open, and it's topsy turvy. But one more thing we should mention before we go, Rob, and that's that, Herman Wiebe Secchi from Purdue shot a 59 at Sand Valley earlier this month, got a hold of the story, got wind of the story last week. And, if you want to read about a guy shooting a 59, including 14 under over the last 15 holes, that story's posted now on our website, wisconsin.golf.
I've been waiting for this one because not only did he shoot it, he had Adam Miller, state amateur runner-up in the 2021 state men's player of the year, who's a caddy at Sand Valley, on the bag. And that you look at that, 30-29 and with a bogey early on in the round. It's just incredible stuff up there. And continue to hear great things about the Lido. Continue to hear that, you know, we've had some state amateur tournaments, you know, assigned here. We keep waiting to see. We think that the Lido will be one of them here in a future year. And but right now, 25, 27, and 28 are open. West Bend Country Club for 26, obviously Legend at Merrill Hills next year. And then North Hills Country Club, Menominee Falls, Oneida Golf and Country Club, in 29 and 30. North Shore Country Club hosting the women's amateur next year. It will be a great site for that in the state. But I just think that Sand Valley isn't amazing. You've got a guy from Purdue going out of his way to play Sand Valley.
Yeah, really cool. I sent the story to the Purdue golf coach and the communications guy at Purdue, and I think pretty sure they posted on their website. But anyway, kind of a cool story about a guy from Oslo, Norway, who plays golf at Purdue, coming up to central Wisconsin to shoot a 59. Pretty cool.
Really good. So that's up on the thing. So we encourage everybody to read what we've written here the last week, because you're not going to see anything until sometime next week. Gary's at the last day of the junior boys. I'll follow the Sherry Steinhauer and we'll continue to get geared up for the state open here in a few weeks. And other than that, Gary, enjoy the weekend.
All right. You too, Rob. Thanks.
That's Gary D'Amato. I'm Rob Hernandez. This has been Talking.Golf on Wisconsin.Golf.